Novi Mir, meaning New World, the leading Soviet literary monthly where Olga Ivinskaya worked, was set up in 1925. Literary journals such as Novi Mir, the official organ of the Writers' Union of the USSR, enjoyed huge influence in the Stalinist period and had a readership of tens of millions. They were vehicles for political ideas in a country where debate was harshly censored, and the contributors held enormous sway in Russian society. The offices in Pushkin Square were situated in a grand former ballroom, painted a rich dark red with gilded cornices, where Pushkin once danced. The magazine's editor, the poet and author Konstantin Simonov, a flamboyant figure with a silvery mane of hair who sported chunky signet rings and the latest style of American loose-fitting suits, was keen to attract living classics to the journal and counted Pavel Antokolsky, Nikolai Chukovsky and Boris Pasternak among its contributors. Olga was in charge of the section for new authors. On an icy October day in 1946, just as a fine snow was beginning to swirl outside the windows, Olga was about to go for lunch with her friend Natasha Bianchi, the magazine's production manager. As she pulled on her squirrel fur coat, her colleague Zinaida Pidubnaya interrupted, "Boris Leonidovich, let me introduce one of your most ardent admirers," gesturing to Olga. Olga was stunned when this god appeared before her and stood there on the carpet and smiled at me. Boldly, she held out her hand for him to kiss. Boris bent over her hand and asked what books of his she had. Astounded and ecstatic to be face to face with her idol, Olga replied that she only had one. He looked surprised. "Oh, I'll get you some others," he said, "though I've given almost all my copies away." Boris explained that he was mainly doing translation work and hardly writing any poems at all due to the repressive strictures of the day. He told her that he was still translating Shakespeare plays. Throughout his writing career, Pasternak earned the bulk of his income through commissioned translation work. Proficient in several languages, including French, German, and English, he was deeply interested in the intricacies and dilemmas of translating. Gifted in interpreting and conveying a colloquial essence, he was to become Russia's premier translator of Shakespeare and would be nominated for the Nobel Prize 6 times for his accomplishments in this area. In 1943, the British Embassy had written to him with compliments and gratitude for his efforts translating the Bard. The work provided several years of steady income. He told a friend in 1945, "Shakespeare, the old man of Chistopol, is feeding me as before." "I've started on a novel," he told Olga at Novi Mir, "though I'm not yet sure what kind of thing it will turn out to be. I want to go back to the old Moscow, which you don't remember, and talk about art and put down some thoughts." At this stage, the novel's draft title was Boys and Girls. He paused before adding a little awkwardly, "How interesting that I still have admirers." Even at the age of 56, more than 20 years Olga's senior, Pasternak was considered handsome in a strong, striking way, despite the fact that his elongated face was often likened to an Arab horse's, hardly flattering, partly because he had long, yellowish teeth. It seems slightly disingenuous that Boris should have questioned that he had admirers, a faux modesty, when he knew perfectly well that he had a hypnotic effect on people, and that men and women everywhere were in awe of him. The Russian poet Andrei Voznesensky, to whom Pasternak would become a mentor figure, was captivated by the poet's dazzling presence the first time he met him, that same year, 1946. Boris Leonidovich started talking, going straight to the point. His cheekbones would twitch like the triangular-shaped cases of wings pressed tight shut prior to opening. "I worshipped him. There was a magnetic quality about him, great strength and celestial otherworldliness. When he spoke, he would jerk his chin, thrusting it up, as if trying to break free of his collar and body. His short nose hooked right from the bridge, then went straight, making one think of the butt of a gun in miniature. The lips of a sphinx, grey hair cropped short. But overshadowing everything else was the pulsating wave of magnetism that flowed from him.